Blog Talk Radio.
Been oppressed all my whole life, living life like it's alright. Everybody talking past life, in and out of that jailhouse. Street running, I done done that, I done chose something different. I just want something different. Anybody feel me? Yeah, yeah. One thing that I do know, conscience never blind, oh. Born raised out of Ohio, beat it down like a high note. Like what it mean when it say high note? Your guess is better than mine, though. We tribal, bless no food. I have something that they don't know. I'm just trying to bring the light in. Give them something that is priceless. Show them what is being righteous. A lot of people ain't gonna like this. Some of y'all gonna despise it. If you have problems, got solutions. If you have questions, I'm here to help you. It's getting real, y'all, it's getting real out here. It's getting real, y'all, it's getting real, real. If you have problems, got solutions. If you need help, then I'm here to heal you. It's getting real, y'all, it's getting real out here. It's getting real, y'all, it's getting real. Can I be honest in just a minute? Why y'all acting like you damn heathens? Why y'all claiming all these fake religions? When God sent the nation against all nations, Israel always kept the precepts. Heathens never kept the precepts. 2nd Ezra 3 and 33. 2nd Ezra 3 and 36. Light it up like a pyro. Why they looking so surprised though? Like they ain't even in the Bible. But you don't even read your Bible. Isaiah 34 and verse 2. But pastor never even showed you. This word I have, I'm going crazy. Like, listen to what I'm saying. That's not what it's really meaning. Man, I wish I had a dime for every time I heard a Christian say the same line. Man, I ain't lying.
If you have problems, I have solutions. If you have questions, I'm here to help you. It's getting real, y'all. It's getting real out here. It's getting real, y'all. It's getting real.
Everybody got their own way, do their own thing. Not a serving God, but they know him. How is it that you got understanding when you not keeping that one commandment? You don't even keep the Sabbath day. You don't even keep the holy days. Nah, no. You can be honest, you can be honest. Gonna be honest, gonna be honest. That ain't enough. Nah, that ain't enough. I'ma have to make a phone call to prophets. They gon' have to show up, make it stop it now.
Waking Up Israel Radio Show. I'm your host, Micah Israel. And today, we'll be getting into 1 Maccabees, starting at chapter 12 today. And just to give a little review on what we covered so far, you can kind of sense why. They took a lot of this out of the Bible, man. It's dealing with the ups and downs of Israel, dealing with war, backstabbing, nothing about an angel appearing, nothing about God, you know, talking to him directly. No heavy scriptures that you can just quote from far as doctrine, you know. But what it does offer, though, it offers subliminal messages, meaning that it's you can take characteristics of the foes that they come in, that are battling, and you can kind of like see what is that characteristic, some of the things that they're subject to do when they're under pressure, and you can also see like the Most High working behind the scenes, you know. And it also, you can also see the mindset of the Israel and their faith being tested and they failing, you know. But I do believe the Most High was with them. However, especially when you talk about them losing battles, heavy battles, man, I think somewhere in their heart, that stony heart kind of shows his face, you know. Instead of depending on God to fight every single battle that they have, they kept turning to get some help, you know. They kept running from the battle. But, you know, they have done that a couple times at the run instead of believing that God would see them through. But definitely what you see is that the Maccabees had a stronger faith than the average Israelite. But the ones that who you know gave it their best and having a faith, and you kind of see how they fell short on it, you know. And you also see evidence of Maccabees doubting God, you know, when they ask for help from Rome. That's kind of like a doubt, y'all. Yeah, I know I don't want to say it like that either, but yeah, that's, you know, that's the reality. When they threw the kitchen sink at them a couple times, and all the forces, they just got it together for to fight them, and they're surrounded. And you see Judas Maccabee, he died in that battle. But before he went into that battle, he asked Rome for allegiance, you know, and see if they can get some help, you know. And instead, he didn't just, you know, rip his clothes off or whatever they do, tore his clothes, put some ashes on his head and get to praying. You didn't really see that, you know what I'm saying? He was kind of like a pride. You know, I'm just saying. But chapter 12, it's kind of a downer going into chapter 12, because chapter 11, Jonathan, Judah's little brother, he died, man. He was getting up in years in his battles and stuff, and they set a trap for him, and he fell for it. He was trying to fortify Israel, just not trusting the Greeks, you know, not trusting the Greeks at all. And he was trying to fortify Israel, and he himself, before he, you know, met his end, he reached out to Rome again for assistance, right? And now, as I go back and look at that, I'm sensing that the Most High didn't like that, that he's reaching out for Rome for assistance. And when we look at it in hindsight, how Rome ended up coming in the picture and occupying Israel, and yeah, I'm seeing how the Most High did not like that, man. So now it's kind of making sense, man. It's all kind of coming together. Like I said, these subliminal messages in this. And there's another thing that stuck out to me. When he written that letter to Rome asking for assistance, he written not just to Rome, but he made a copy of that letter and sent it to the friends of Rome, those under Roman rule there, over in that area, the Thessalonians, and he named a couple more. I don't know if you said Galatians or whatever, but they looked in their records and seen that they was also, it says something like that, that they was brethren with Israel, you know, and how they got a bondage together, being the children of Abraham. So what is that telling me? That them, they themselves understood that either they're saying that they're Edomites of the children of, you know, Abraham, or are they saying that they are Israelites, you know, that are over there under Romans? So I'm leaning toward Edomites, you know what I'm saying, that they're acknowledging that they are descendants of, you know, Esau, you know, or whatever. But either which way, we do know Alexander the Great came out of that land, out of that Roman, out of the land of Chittim, which, you know, basically is that Rome, Spain, all that type of area, you know. That's the land of Chittim, long, you know, ain't the ancient name for that land a long time ago. So, you know, I want to say it all was Chittim, but, you know, it might not have been, y'all. But definitely the Roman Empire, they descended from the land of Chittim. So, you know, Alexander the Great came in. He was of that kingship bloodline there. And when we read in the book of Jasher, it revealed to us that Esau's descendant winded up reigning, ruling, and put a crown over his head in the land of Chittim, right? So, yeah, and you know, centuries later, here come Alexander the Great, right? So, yeah, they're Edomites, and now the Greek is all used to be, you know, like I said, the land of Chittim, all that area. Chittim had control over that area, you know, in ancient times, you know. And it just evolved into what we call this Greek nation, kind of Alexander the Great kind of conquered all of this area, Rome and all of that, you know, was under his power all the way to India, okay. And when he died, he separated all of that into four separate, you know, areas for his generals, right? Four generals. And those generals winded up putting crowns on their heads. So, and, you know, you can just imagine that once they start having children, they probably sliced and diced up their little area into little kingdoms, you know what I'm saying, of the area. Now, well, so what we basically come across up to now in First Maccabees were all of these little areas, these little king power, man, and they backstabbing and fighting each other. You know, they're all kind of, in the grand scheme of things, even when you look at them, they're all kind of, well, I want to say related, but they're not acting like they're related, right? So that tells me that you got the Edomites, and then you got Japheth, you know, and they may have mixed together, but yet they got culturally differences, right? And they don't really consider themselves the same, you know? And so I think that is what we're really seeing here, make, you know, what that's coming out to be. So that's something to think about, you know, as we go forward in reading. Okay, so with that being said, let me go ahead and open up everybody's mic, see if they got something to say. We got Brother Ronald in the house, and we got Brother, I'm forgetting his name, Brother, what's your name, Brother? I forget you. Forgetting your name. It just I just lost it. Shalom, y'all. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
All right. That's Brother Ronald right there. And Erico 254, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, this is Floyd.
Okay, Brother Floyd, I forgot your name for a second there, Brother Floyd. All right. So in today's episode, I'll be going into the Maccabees also again. And I'm going to be in chapter 12. Yeah, any questions about it so far? What y'all done heard? Anything, man?
No, sir. I'm just listening. I'm having to go to the grocery store for the family real quick, so I'm just listening in.
Okay. I'm going to place you on hold, man, while you're handling business. But I'm going to put everybody on hold and get in the book. But if you got a question, man, feel free to, you know, raise your hand by pressing the number one or anything like that, okay? All right. And Brother Ronald, I'm going to go ahead and just dive on into it, bro, and see if I can knock out this chapter 12, all right?
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. I'm going to put everybody on hold. Okay. So here we go, y'all. We're going to get started. All right. The chat room is open. And we're going to get started with my reading, y'all. And forgive me for not pronouncing these names good, man, but I'm learning like everybody else, man. And so that's kind of like what I'm doing, man, just kind of diving on into it and, you know, and learning as I go. And I'm sharing it with the world, man, sharing it on the show. Follow along with me, man, and just, you know, vibe with me on that, right? Okay, so we're in chapter 12. There's 16 chapters, so we're almost done with the first Maccabees. We're in chapter 12. So without further ado, Jonathan is now dead, man. So we're starting chapter 12 off with a sad little note. Enemies all surrounding him, and the Canaanites and the Arabians all looking at Jonathan died, so now Israel is vulnerable. You know, they had such great hope. And right before Jonathan died, he was trying to fortify Israel because he just didn't trust the Greeks, man. And it's just a matter of time for the Greeks to all turn on him, right? So he's fortifying everything. And apparently they set a trap for him, man. And he's thinking that he's going to get praise and stuff like he's been getting. And it turns out that they end up killing him and that group that was with him. So here we are, starting off chapter 12 on a sad note. So here we go, diving on in. First Maccabees, chapter 12, verse 1. Now when Jonathan saw that time served him, he chose certain men. Hold on. Did I already read chapter 12? Oh, my goodness, y'all. I'm sorry about that. My bad. I'm messing up, y'all. We already read chapter 12. Yeah, so, okay, we already read chapter 12. Sorry about that, y'all. All right, we're reading chapter 13. All right. Anyway, but so I just made that little mistake. Yeah. So chapter 13, y'all. Now, when Simeon heard that Tryphon had gathered together a great host to invade the land of Judea and destroy it, and saw that the people was in great trembling and fear, he went up to Jerusalem and gathered the people together and gave them exhortation, saying, "Yea, yourselves know what great things I and my brethren and my father's house have done for the laws and the sanctuary, the battles also and troubles which we have seen, by reason whereof all my brethren are slain for Israel's sake, and I am left alone. Now, therefore, be it far from me that I should spare my own life in any time of trouble, for I am no better than my brethren. Doubtless I will avenge my nation and the sanctuary and our wives and our children, for all the heathen are gathered to destroy us of very malice." Now as soon as the people heard these words, their spirit revived, and they answered with a loud voice, saying, "Thou shalt be our leader instead of Judas and Jonathan thy brother. Fight thou our battles, and whosoever thou commandest us, that will we do." So then he gathered together all the men of war and made haste to finish the walls of Jerusalem, and he fortified it round about. Also he sent Jonathan, the son of Absalom, and with him a great power to Joppa, who casting out them that were therein, remained therein it. So Tryphon removed from Ptolemais with a great power to invade the land of Judea, and Jonathan was with him in ward. But Simeon pitched his tents at Adida over against the plain. Now, when Tryphon knew that Simeon was risen up instead of his brother Jonathan and meant to join battle with him, he sent messengers unto him, saying, "Whereas we have Jonathan thy brother in hold, it is for money that he is owing unto the king's treasure concerning the business that was committed unto him. Wherefore now send 100 talents of silver and 2 of his sons for hostages, that when he is at liberty, he may not revolt from us, and we will let him go." Albeit he perceived that they spake deceitfully unto him, yet sent he the money and the children, lest peradventure he should procure to himself great hatred of the people, who might have said, "Because I sent him not the money and the children, therefore is Jonathan dead." So he sent them the children and the 100 talents. Howbeit Tryphon dissembled, neither would he let Jonathan go. And after this came Tryphon to invade the land and destroy it, going round about by the way that leadeth unto Adora. But Simon and his host marched against him in every place, whatsoever he went. Now they that were in the tower sent messengers unto Tryphon, to the end that he should hasten his coming unto them by the wilderness and send them victuals. Wherefore Tryphon made ready all his horsemen to come that night. But there fell a very great snow, by reason whereof he came not. So he departed and came into the country of Galaad. And when he came near to Bascama, he slew Jonathan, who was buried there. Wow. After Tryphon returned and went into his own land, then sent Simeon and took the bones of Jonathan, his brother, and buried them in Modin, the city of his fathers. And all Israel made great lamentation for him and bewailed him many days. Simon also built a monument upon the sepulcher of his father and his brethren and raised it aloft to the site with hewn stone behind and before. Moreover, he set up several pyramids, one against another, for his father and his mother and his 4 brethren. And in these he made cunning devices, about the which he set great pillars, and upon the pillars he made all their armor for perpetual memory. And by the armor ships carved, that they might be seen of all that sailed on the sea. This is the sepulcher which he made at Modin, and standeth yet unto this day. Now Tryphon dealt deceitfully with the young king Antiochus, and slew him, and he reigned in his stead, and crowned himself king of Asia, and brought a great calamity upon the land. Then Simon built up the strongholds in Judea and fenced them about the high towers and great walls and gates and bars and laid up victuals therein. Moreover, Simon chose men and sent to King Demetrius to the end he should give the land to immunity, because all that Tryphon did was to spoil. Unto whom King Demetrius answered and wrote after this manner: King Demetrius unto Simon, the high priest, and friend of kings, as also unto the elders and nation of the Jews, sending greetings. The golden crown and the scarlet robe, which yet sent unto us, we have received, and we are ready to make a steadfast peace with you, yea, and to write unto our officers, to confirm the immunities which we have granted. And whatsoever covenants we have made with you shall stand, and the strongholds which ye have builded shall be your own. As for any oversight or fault committed unto this day, we forgive it, and the crown tax also, which ye owe us. And if there were any other tribute paid in Jerusalem, it shall no more be paid. And look who are meet among you to be in our court. Let them be enrolled, and let there be peace between us. Thus, the yoke of the heathen has taken away from Israel in the 117th year. 170th year. And then the people of Israel began to write in their instruments and contracts in the first year of Simon the high priest, the governor and leader of the Jews. In those days, Simon camped against Gaza and besieged it round about. He made also an engine of war and set it by the city and battered a certain tower and took it. And they that were in the engine leaped unto the city, whereupon there was a great uproar in the city, insomuch as the people of the city rent their clothes and climbed upon the walls with their wives and children and cried with a loud voice, beseeching Simon to grant them peace. And they said, deal not with us according to our wickedness, but according to thy mercy. So Simon was appeased toward them and fought no more against them, but put them out of the city and cleansed the houses wherein the idols were, and so entered into it with songs and thanksgiving. Yea, he put all uncleanness out of it, and placed such men there as would keep the law, and made it stronger than it was before, and built therein a dwelling place for himself. They also of the tower in Jerusalem were kept so straight that they could neither come forth nor go into the country, nor buy nor sell. Wherefore they were in great distress for want of victuals, and a great number of them perished through famine. Then cried they to Simon, beseeching him to be at one with them, which thing he granted them. And when he had put them out from thence, he cleansed the tower from pollution, and entered into it the 23rd day of the second month, in the 171st year, with thanksgiving, and branches of palm trees, and with harps and cymbals, and with bowls and hymns and songs, because there was destroyed a great enemy out of Israel. He ordained also that day should be kept every year with gladness. Moreover, the heel of the temple that was by the tower he made stronger than it was, and there he dwelt himself with his company. And when Simon saw that John, his son, was a valiant man, he made him captain of all the host, and he dwelt in Gazaria. Now, this is chapter 14. So I just read chapter 13. And I'm going to go ahead and tackle chapter 14 right quick. Look like I can knock it out pretty quick, but we'll see. All right, chapter 14, verse 1. Now, in the 112th year, King Demetrius gathered his forces together and went into Media to get him help to fight against Typhon. But when Arsaces, the king of Persia and Media, heard that Demetrius was entered within his borders, he sent one of his princes to take him alive and smote the host of Demetrius and took him and brought him to Arsaces, by whom he was put in ward. As for the land of Judea, that was quiet all the days of Simon, for he sought the good of his nation in such wise as that evermore his authority and honor pleased him well, as he was honorable in all his acts, so in this, that he took Joppa for an haven and made an entrance to the isles of the sea and enlarged the bounds of his nation and recovered the country and gathered together a great number of captives and had the dominion of Gazaria and Basura and the tower, out of the which he took all uncleanness. Neither was there any that resisted him. Then did they till their ground in peace, and the earth gave her increase, and the trees of the field their fruit. The ancient men sat all in the streets, communing together of good things, and the young men put on glorious and warlike apparel. He provided victuals for the cities, and set in them all manner of munitions, so that his honorable name was renowned unto the end of the world. He made peace in the land, and Israel rejoiced with great joy. For every man sat under his vine and his fig tree, and there was none to fray them. Neither was there any left in the land to fight against them. Yea, the king themselves were overthrown in those days. Moreover, he strengthened all those of his people that were brought low. The law he searched out, and every contemner of the law and wicked person he took away. He beautified the sanctuary and multiplied vessels of the temple. Now, when it was heard at Rome and as far as Sparta that Jonathan was dead, they were very sorry. But as soon as they heard that his brother Simon was made high priest in his stead and ruled the country and the cities therein, they wrote unto him in tables of brass to renew the friendship and league which they had made with Judas and Jonathan, his brethren, which writings were read before the congregation at Jerusalem. And this is the copy of the letters that the Lacedaemonians sent. Lacedaemonians, okay? The rulers of the Lacedaemonians, with the city unto Simon the high priest, and the elders and priests and residue of the people of the Jews, our brethren, send greetings. Hold up. See, this is the second time it has said something like that. The Lacedaemonians is our brethren. What's that about? When you say brethren, are you saying that like, they themselves are Israel? Or are you saying they are descendants of Abraham, like Israelites are? I don't know. We've got to keep reading. I'm thinking it's from Lacedaemonians. That's over there by Rome and up, you know, Europe. So they're Edomites, basically, is what they're saying. All right. The ambassadors that were sent unto our people certified us of your glory and honor. Wherefore, we were glad of their coming and did register the things that they spake in the council of the people in this manner. Numenius, son of Antiochus, and Antipater, son of Jason, the Jews' ambassador, came unto us to renew the friendship they had with us. And it pleased the people to entertain the men honorably and to put the copy of their ambassage in public records, to the end the people of the Lacedaemonians might have memorial thereof. Furthermore, we have written a copy thereof unto Simon the high priest. After this, Simon sent Numimius to Rome with a great shield of gold of 1,000-pound weight to confirm the league with them. Whereof, when the people heard, they said, "We thanks shall we give to Simon and his sons." Okay. Let me read that again. Whereof, when the people heard, they said, "What thanks shall we give to Simon and his sons? For he and his brethren and the house of his father have established Israel to weigh in and fight their enemies from them and confirm their liberty." So then they wrote it in tables of brass, which they set upon pillars in Mount Sinai. And this is the copy of the writing. The 18th day of the month Elul, in the 112th year, being the third year of Simon the high priest, at Sarabel in the great congregation of the priests and people and rulers of the nation and elders of the country, were these things notified unto us. For so much as oftentimes there have been wars in the country, wherein for the maintenance of the sanctuary and the law, Simon, the son of Matthias, of the posterity of Jerib, together with his brethren, put themselves in jeopardy, and resisting the enemies of their nation, did their nation great honor. For after that, Jonathan, having gathered his nation together and been their high priest, was added to his people. Their enemies prepared to invade their country, that they might destroy it and lay hands on the sanctuary at which time Simon rose up and fought for his nation and spent much of his own substance and armed the valiant men of his nation and gave them wages and fortified the cities of Judea together with Bethsura that lied upon the borders of Judea where the armorer of the enemies had been before. But he set a garrison of Jews there. Moreover, he fortified Joppa, which lieth upon the sea, and Gezera, that bordereth upon Azotus, where the enemies have dwelt before. But he placed Jews there, and furnished them with all things convenient for the reparation thereof. The people therefore sang the acts of Simon, and unto what glory he thought to bring his nation, made him their governor and chief priest. Because he hath done all these things, and for the justice and faith which he kept to his nation, and for that he sought by all means to exalt his people. For in this time things prospered in his hands, so that the heathen were taken out of their country, and they also that were in the city of David in Jerusalem, who had made themselves a tower, out of which they issued, and polluted all about the sanctuary, and did much hurt in the holy place. But he placed Jews therein, and fortified it for the safety of the country and the city, and raised up walls of Jerusalem. King Demetrius also confirmed him in the high priesthood, according to those things, and made him one of his friends, and honored him with great honor. For he had heard that the Romans have called the Jews their friends and confederates and brethren, and that they had entertained the ambassadors of Simon honorably. Also that the Jews and priests were well pleased that Simon should be their governor and high priest forever until there should arise a faithful prophet. Moreover, that he should be their captain and should take charge of this sanctuary to set them over their works and over the country and over the armor and over the fortresses, that I say he should take charge of the sanctuary. Besides this, that he should be obeyed of every man, and that all the writings in the country should be made in his name, and that he should be clothed in purple and wear gold. Also, that it should be lawful for none of the people or priests to break any of these things, or to gainsay his words, or to gather an assembly in the country without him, or to be clothed in purple or wear a buckle of gold. And whosoever should do otherwise or break any of these things, he should be punished. Thus it like all the people to deal with Simon and to do as has been said. Then Simon accepted hereof and was well pleased to be high priest and captain and governor of the Jews and priests and to defend them all. So they commanded that this writing should be put in tables of brass and that they should be set up within the confines of the sanctuary in conspicuous place. Also that the copies thereof should be laid up in the treasury to the end that Simon and his sons might have them. Okay, now that was 14. So I just read 13 and 14. All right, so let me open up the mic to see if y'all got anything to add to that. I'm going to start with Brother Ronald first.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah,
Brother Ronald, everything all right? All right, brother.
Yeah.
So what we got here, I don't know how you've been following along in the Maccabees, but this new king right here, man, Alexander, he was a new king that kind of popped up. This is not Alexander the Great. He popped up and tried to make a deal with Ptolemy, who was the king of Egypt or something like that, and he had his daughter Cleopatra, all right, that he should wife Cleopatra and make a little family bond with him, and they can reign over this Greek empire together, right? Well, another person, Ptolemy, wanted Alexander's land, so he dealt deceitfully with him, and he linked up with this guy named Demetrius, another Demetrius. I don't know if they're related to the other Demetrius or not. I'm not sure. But he gave Cleopatra to him to wife, and they set to go to war with Alexander. All right? So when he did that, he put a crown of Egypt on his head, and he also put the crown of Asia on his head. Right? Now, with that going down, Alexander was killed, got his head chopped off, right? And Ptolemy seems to be all right with Jonathan. I mean, seemed to be. But then Ptolemy, all of a sudden, he died, right? It don't say how he died. It just said he died, right? But if I go back in school, I believe there was some kind of something happened to him. But anyway, it just says he died. So now Demetrius is basically the only king around, and Cleopatra is his wife, and you got the Greek Empire stretching all the way up to Rome border, and you got Israel all the way, well, Israel and Egypt, North Africa, you know, you got all the Middle East, right? And way far east around Persia and the Medes over there was apparently there's an Antiochus that lives there, and he's king of that area, right? Now, he's self-proclaimed king. He says that he's the son of the original Antiochus, and they got this guy named Tryphon who was with Alexander when Alexander, killed Demetrius. He was part of that army coming to the picture then, but then turned around. He was with Demetrius when killing Alexander. So he's just a double crosser altogether. So Tryphon, this guy, wind up killing this guy, Antiochus, who's the son of the original king Antiochus, and so he put the crown on his head, the king of Asia, and he's reigning over there in Persia, Medes, right? And so that's a problem for them right there, the Greek Empire, that way over far east they got this guy Tryphon, right? Now to the west of them, they remember they got Rome over there, and they befriended Israel, because Israel was moving around like the Taliban, you know what I'm saying? You know, they was just kind of running from authority, having scrimmages, always on the move, you know, kind of like how they view terrorists over there in Saudi Arabia, you know, that area over there, you know, like the Taliban, you know what I'm saying? And, but they done been winning their battle so much that they start to take little towns and cities, made a name for themselves. Anyway, they winning the respect of the king, and all is peace right now. So I guess in a nutshell, that I kind of brought you up to date on what I just read. Any questions, man?
Yeah, I was interested in First Maccabees 13:49, chapter 13, verse 49.
Okay, they also of the tower in Jerusalem were kept so straight that they could neither come forth nor go into the country, nor buy nor sell, wherefore they were in great distress for want of victuals, and a great number of them perished through famine.
That reminds me of what's going to happen when the Antichrist comes, because the Bible says you're not going to be able to buy or sell. Remember that in Revelation?
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's going to be something similar to that. But what's going on right here is this was already on their radar to do. This is right there in Gaza. Egypt and Israel kind of shared that little territory right there, border. And it was a border town. And, you know, like the Gaza Strip.
Okay.
Right. So they had a bunch of Israelites, you know, trying to stay out the way and down in this area. Now, in this land where they were worshiping, you know, other gods and idols and stuff like that, right? So what Simeon did, he went to war with them, you know what I'm saying, finna kill them all, and they begged Simeon for mercy, you know what I'm saying, and they gave up those idols and swear that they, you know what I'm saying, start worshiping their true God again. And when he did that, they opened up the doors to him. He didn't kill them. He let them make it. And that they repented, you know what I'm saying, for what they was doing. And, you know what I'm saying, that's what this was. And but he locked them up, you know what I'm saying, the where they couldn't buy or sell. That tells me that they kind of lost their ways. They lost their culture, these folks we're talking about. And they,
yeah.
You know, he didn't kill them with the sword, but he locked them up that they couldn't, you know, get out and go buy stuff. You see what I'm saying? Kind of like he's making them fast, you know what I'm saying? And so they end up, a lot of them end up dying because they wasn't prepared. Right? They wasn't prepared because this is the time of year to where the seventh year, I believe this is the case, that there's a great famine in the land because nobody's farming. They let the year rest with no farming. This is a Sabbath year. And there's a great famine also in this year. So only the ones who are stored up with food, they'll weather this famine that's going on. You see what I'm saying? And these guys were not prepared for that because they wasn't living their culture. They was living a Gentile culture. So they didn't have nothing stored and prepared for that. You see what I'm saying? And so when Simon locked them up, you know what I'm saying, and didn't kill them and stuff like that, a lot of them end up starving to death, man, because they wasn't prepared for the Sabbath year.
Yeah.
And that's what that, I mean, that's what I'm getting from that, okay? All right.
Yeah.
Right. Let me see if brother, what's your friend name? What's your brother name? Floyd. Brother Floyd. Okay. Let's see if he's if he's good to talk right now.
No, sir. I'm
all right, brother Floyd. Okay, gotcha. I'll put you back on hold, brother. Just press 1 when you are ready to talk. All right, I'll put him back on hold. Okay, so anyway, we done read those two chapters, 13 and 14, and I guess I'm going to go ahead and just hop in 15, go ahead and knock 15 out, you know. There's only 16 chapters. I don't know, man. I might just knock them all out. Who knows? So far right now, Simeon is doing real good right now, man. Israel is doing great right now. So let's see what else happens, all right? I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to get right back to it, all right? All right. Okay. All right. I got him on hold. Okay, yep. Got him on hold. So here we go, y'all. I'm going to read chapter 15 now. Okay? So I'm going to read chapter 15 right now, and we're going to get started right now. All right. Here we go. Chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, Antiochus, son of Demetrius, the king, sent letters from the Isles of the Sea unto Simon, the priest, prince of the Jews, and to all the people. The contents were these. King Antiochus to Simon, the high priest and prince of his nation, and to the people of the Jews, greeting. Far so much as certain pestilent men have usurped the kingdom of our fathers and made purpose is to challenge it again, that I may restore it to the old estate. And to that end have gathered a multitude of foreign soldiers together, and perhaps ships of war. My meaning also being to go through the country, that I may be avenged of them that have destroyed it, and have made many cities in the kingdom desolate. Now, therefore, I confirm unto thee all the oblations which the kings before me granted thee, and whatsoever gifts besides they granted. I give thee leave also to coin money for thy country with thy own stamp. And as concerning Jerusalem and the sanctuary, let them be free, and all the armor that thou hast made, and fortresses that thou hast built, and keepest in thy hand, let them remain unto thee. And if anything be or shall be owing to the king, let it be forgiven thee from this time forth forevermore. Furthermore, when we have obtained our kingdom, we will honor thee and thy nation and thy temple and with great honor, so that your honor shall be known throughout the world. In the 114th year with Antiochus into the land of his fathers, at which time all the forces came together unto him, so that few were left with Tryphon. For being pursued by King Antiochus, he fled into Dora, which lieth by the seaside. For he saw that troubles came upon him all at once, and that his forces had forsaken him. Then camped Antiochus against Dora, having with him 120,000 men of war and 8,000 horsemen. And when he had encompassed the city round about and joined the ships close to the town on the seaside, he vexed the city by land and by sea. Neither suffered he any to go out or in. In the mean season came Eumenius and his company from Rome, having letters to the king and countries, wherein were written these things. Lucius, counsel of the Romans unto King Ptolemy, greetings. The Jews' ambassador, our friends and confederates, came unto us to renew the old friendship and league, being sent from Simon the high priest and from the people of the Jews. And they brought a shield of gold of 1,000 pounds. We thought it good, therefore, to write unto thee the kings and countries, that they should do them no harm, nor fight against them, their cities or countries, nor yet aid their enemies against them. It seems also good to us to receive the shield of them. If therefore there be any pestilence fellows that have fled from their country unto you, deliver them unto Simon the high priest, that he may punish them according to their own law. The same things wrote he likewise unto Demetrius the king and Attalus, to Atherius and Esiris, and to all the countries, and to the Samsonites, and the Lacedonians, and the Delos, and the Mindus, and the Sisons, Caria, and Samos, and Pamphylia, and Lycia, and Carnassus. Halicarnassus, and Rhodus, and Aridus, and Cos, and Side, and Aridus, and Gortna, and Sidus, and Cyprus, and Cyrene. Pause right there. What's being said here? So, the guy who's reigning over this land. Okay, that's stopped at 23. Okay, the guy who's reigning over this land, his name is Darius, or Demetrius, right? And he's saying to Jonathan, oh, Jonathan, you all right, man. I see you done rags to riches, man. You know what I'm saying? You done been fighting your butt off, and look where you at now. God is definitely with you. And anyway, what's going on with me is that these guys over here in Persia, Medes, are, you know, they done did a whole bunch of bad things, killed your brother, Jonathan, and they done got some money and got those kids hostages, and they just, you know, threatening my kingdom over here, okay? So let me go on and put up war together. I'm going to go and secure our country. And while I'm gone, you know, do what you've been doing, man. And hopefully you got this land covered as far as Israel. And, you know what I'm saying? And I know you know what I'm saying, going to be on it to send letters to us if anything, you know, while we going out of town. Because we finna go on over and handle this problem to the Persian Medes, right? And I just want to say also to you that you, you know, saying when you're going to be exalted as king, man, for, you know, just a real cool Israelite, the king of your Jews, you know. You all right. You ain't got to pay me back nothing, man, because you doing me a solid favor, right? Now, while he's gone, a letter came to him from Rome saying that the Jews have pledged allegiance to them and that, you know, he made a copy of this letter to all these people I named already and names that I stumbled on. I can't even say all those names. And how their brethren, he gave us a gold shield. And, and we did a whole high five together, and we friends, right? And you make sure that nobody messed with those Jews and that any enemies that did them wrong, and like barking orders at them, right? I mean, that's what I'm getting from it. Now, I can just only imagine if we walking in King Demetrius' shoes of the Greek Empire, and a Roman official who's kind of like an enemy. He's the issue that I'm already on my radar, right? Saying that the Israelites who's under my jurisdiction is friends with them. Like, so Rome is already putting a foot there in Israel. I wonder how he's going to react to that, man. You know, but that's something that Judas got started when he was battling with the Greeks. And when Judas died, Jonathan reached out to Rome. Then Jonathan wound up getting killed, right? And now, here is Simon. He done reached out to, well, Rome reached out to him. He replied back saying, yeah, that same deal is on. Now, when you look at the big picture, when Judas first reached out to Rome, the older brother, it seemed like God stopped being with him. I ain't going to say it like that, but that's when he came across that battle and God didn't give him the victory, right? And then when Jonathan wrote that letter to Rome, all of a sudden God let him fall into a trap. And then Jonathan, got captured and all the men died, and then the Tryphon ended up killing Jonathan like that, you know. And now Simeon done answer back. Like, Rome is literally the devil. You know, and he don't know it yet, but this deal with Rome, God do not like that. So now I'm thinking in my mind, it's just a matter of time for Simeon. It's going to die. You know what I'm saying? You feel what I'm saying? See where I'm going with it? Yeah, so because it seems like God is with them on their battles, so they act like they need help, you know, other than God. All they need is God. And I think that's the whole point, man. But, okay, so, yeah, let me go ahead and keep reading. That was at 23. Let me read 24. And the copy hereof they wrote to Simon, the high priest. So Antiochus, the king, camped against Dora that the second day, assaulting it continually and making engines by which means he shut up Tryphon, that he could neither go out nor in. At that time, Simon sent him 2,000 chosen men to aid him, silver also and gold and much armor. Nevertheless, he would not receive them, but break all the covenants which he had made with him before and became strange unto him. Uh-oh. So Demetrius got that. Okay. He breaking all. Okay. So he's like, yeah, I'm going to deal with you when I get back home. Furthermore, he sent unto him Anthibius, one of his friends, to commune with him and say, yea, withhold Joppa and Gazaria with the tower that is in Jerusalem, which are cities of my realm. The borders thereof, yea, have wasted and done great hurt in the land and got the dominion of many places within my kingdom. Now, therefore, deliver the cities which ye have taken and the tributes of the places whereof ye have gotten dominion without the borders of Judea. Or else give me four of them 500 talents of silver, and for the harm that ye have done, and the tributes of the cities, and other 500 talents, If not, we will come and fight against you. So Athenodobius, the king's friend, came to Jerusalem, and when he saw the glory of Simon and the cupboard of gold and silver plate and his great attendants, he was astonished and told him the king's message. Then answered Simon and said unto him, "We have neither taken other men's land, nor holding that which appertaineth to others, the inheritance of our fathers, which our enemies had wrongfully in possession a certain time. Wherefore we have an opportunity, hold the inheritance of our fathers. And whereas thou demandest Joppa and Gazaria, albeit they did great harm unto the people in our country, yet will we give thee 100 talents for them." Hereunto, Athenodobius answered him not a word, but returned in a rage to the king, and made report unto him of these speeches, and of the glory of Simon, and all that he had seen, whereupon the king was exceedingly wroth. In the meantime fled Tryphon by ship unto Athotsias. Then the king made Cendebeus captain of the seacoast, and gave him a host of footmen and horsemen, and commanded him to remove his host toward Judea. Also he commanded him to build a cedron, and to fortify the gates, and to war against the people. But as for the king himself, he pursued Tryphon. So Cendebeus came to Jamenia and began to provoke the people and to invade Judea and to take the people prisoner and slay them. And when he had built up Sidru, he set horsemen there and an host of footmen, to the end that ensuing out they might make outroads upon the ways of Judea as the king had commanded him. That's the end of chapter 15. Okay, so what is that telling y'all? When Rome sent that letter to him after he done pat Simon on the head and said, "Simon, man, you're very respected, you know, you and your family, right? Let me go off to the east and fight and get the Tryphon and all of them. Put them in check right quick so I can focus on Rome, you know." And did he get a letter from Rome? Saying, yeah, Rome saying that Israel's a friend, they brother, and they high five, and he done sent me a shield, and he basically, you know, just, man, blood brothers with us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and anybody that mess with them, they going to see us. You right? And Israel got our back, too, saying, if you even think of anything trying to get us, Israel's going to come and fight against you, and we're going to be right there with them. They on our team. Basically, right? Let me go ahead and open up y'all line. Tell me what y'all thinking, man. All right. Let me open up the lines. All right. Brother Ronald. Oh, I got Sister Thayer.
Yes, sir.
All right, Sister
Thayer.
If you want to make a... Okay. All right. Let me open up your mic, Sister Thayer. All right. So, so that's what we got so far. And what y'all think about it?
Well, I'm fascinated, and I can't wait to hear more. So, you know, I'm just listening. I've kind of tuned in a little late, but I remember from the last show what you was talking about as well. So I think this is fascinating.
All right.
Yeah.
I got you. All right. Brother
so
Ronald.
I want to ask you a question. Was the 12 tribes set up then at this time? 12 tribes of Israel.
No. At this time, it was just Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, basically.
So it's like on three
tribes? Yeah, basically.
Okay.
And there may have been some Samarians, Samaria, any type of northern tribes that live in Samaria. Maybe they was also around. But this is taking place after the Persian captivity. Right? Because who was that?
Okay.
You know, so we were slaves to Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, and then you know, the Persian Empire, what Cyprus I think his name was, took over Babylon and all that, the Persian Medes, right? And we was under tribute with that, and he let us go back to Jerusalem and build it up. And so everybody that was in Babylon captivity, they went back to Jerusalem, and that's where the Old Testament ends, right? Now,
okay.
This, the book of Maccabees, so, letting you know. Okay, go ahead, brother.
So you say it was on the three tribes at this time. All 12 tribes, when they have a form of 12 tribes, yeah, it was on the three, right? That's what
right.
Saying.
They're scattered Israelites. The Northern Kingdom is still scattered.
Oh, so this is Northern. So this you're talking about the Northern Kingdom.
No, this is the Southern Kingdom. I was saying the Northern Kingdom.
Oh,
they're still scattered. When Assyria, yeah, when Assyria took them out, the Northern Kingdom have never came back since then.
Yeah. So
remember
so
that?
They were already scattered already, right? Yeah. So they were
right.
Already scattered at the time.
Yeah.
So this is the Southern Kingdom, right? Okay. Okay, I see what you're saying now.
Yeah. So we was captives. Where the North, God allowed the Northern Kingdom to get taken away, kicked out of the land. So the Assyrians took the Northern Kingdom away. Here, we do not know where the Assyrians did with them. A lot of them was in Assyria, but Assyrians was selling slaves and stuff like that back then, right? And nobody cared what happened to the Northern Kingdom. You know what I'm saying? As far as Jerusalem is concerned, God kicked them out, and they are now Gentiles. They now belong to the Gentile world, right? They are not welcome back for what they did, right? So that's how, as far as we concerned, as far as, you know, Israel's concerned, that's the way we view the Northern Kingdom. And then God allowed Babylon to conquer Israel and put us in captivity, took us out of the land. He still kind of was talking to us during this time. You know what I'm saying? But as far as we know, he wasn't talking to the Northern Kingdom. He was just kind of talking to us. We still have prophets, you know, Nehemiah and, you know, Ezra. And there were so many prophets still in Babylon. Even though we were going through things in Babylon, we still have prophets, you know what I'm saying, wise men and stuff like that. But as far as Northern Kingdom, they didn't have nobody, man. So when the Persian Medes took over and let us go back and rebuild, we was doing all right. And that's how the Old Testament kind of ends right there. And, you know, paying Persia, you know, tribute. But then, you know, what our normal canon doesn't mention is that Alexander the Great popped up, and he defeated the Persian Medes. You know what I'm saying? And he took over all this land and northern Africa, all of Europe, all the way to India, right? And Persia, all of that area, you know what I'm saying? So that Persian Empire is done away with now. They gone. That's history. And what we kind of reading in the first Maccabees is they trying to get back on top again, you know what I'm saying? They trying to fight it back against the Greeks, and they trying to make another stand and fight their way back, you know. But so that's what we kind of reading with them fighting the Persians, the Greeks here. But so now, like I was just saying, every time they reached out to Rome though for help and allegiance to them, they start dying. Is y'all noticing that routine? Like the Most High, he's saying, don't do that. I'm all the help you need. You know what I'm saying? But when Judas first wrote a letter to Rome saying that, yeah, we want to be friends with Rome, then Judas ended up dying in the battle. And then when Jonathan, his brother, reached out to Rome, then Jonathan wound up getting killed. Now, here we see Simon reached out to Rome, and he was just getting good praise from the king that was over the Greek king Demetrius. He was getting praise from him, and so now Demetrius is sending threats to Simon, saying, "When I get back home, we're gonna do this. I'm gonna wipe out everything you done did, and I don't even know you no more, right?" And so Simon, like, man, these are our forefathers' land. They ain't nothing got to do with, you know, like, but Simon, you know, he's in a bind. And I'm thinking, by the way this is going, I think Simon might not live through this, because I don't think God is with them no more. You know what I'm saying? Or something. You feel me? I don't know. I'm just kind of talking, but yeah.
So little by little, God was he was trying to remove all the tribes from Israel, right? You know what I'm saying? Because Judah was, huh?
You said Abatron?
You hear me? Yeah, because Judah was the last one left. You hear me?
You said Judah.
I said Judah was the last one left before God kicked him out. He kicked him out for good.
Uh-huh.
He kicked him out of the land for good. So, because you remember when Christ came? Christ came, the Israelites were still in the land when Christ came on the scene.
Okay.
You remember that?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I'm missing your point to it. I'm missing what your point was today.
I'm saying when Christ came, he was trying to rescue the land.
Not all the Jews, but some of them did.
Yeah, most of them. Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, most of them did. Yeah, it's okay. I say it like that. But I just want to, most of them did. You know what I'm saying? He had a lot of people that followed him everywhere, though, when Christ was here. Lots of people. And after Christ gave up the ghost, man, and made that covenant with us in the Last Supper and everything, you know, his apostles went to teaching about Christ, and that won over a lot more Jews. So when you look at it in hindsight, it's just hard. It's just when somebody talk about the Jews and leave that part out, there was thousands of Jews that believed in Christ. You know what I'm saying? Before they kicked the Jews out of the land. You know, thousands and thousands. So, so I'm just saying it grew over time. So when 70 AD happened, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, it was a lot of Christ-believing Jews that went, you know, they got kicked out of the land. But they was under Roman occupation, you know what I'm saying? So what we're reading is how Rome even got in the picture. And what do you think Rome is up to right now? Sending that letter to the Greek Empire, telling the Greek Empire how Israel's our friend, and they sent us a shield, and they ain't lying, but they being deceptive like a snake, right? Because they wanted that battle to take place, because when they seeing that all the stuff, see, how did they describe Rome? Rome had 320 senators that is what they did every day, is all sat down together in peace and talk about the people and strategies of war with the Caesar in the middle of them. So there they are, got a great council of elders and wise men, and they move like a serpent, you know? And that's what impressed Judah Maccabees, remember? When Judah Maccabees was describing him. He was like, they are moving with precision. And they all the time they think about their people and how to better their lives and you know, hearing the needs of the people, you know, 320 senators and governors. And apparently that democracy, you know, is something that impressed Judas Maccabeus. But as you can see, the Most High, man, he doesn't like it, man. He's basically saying that is a bad idea to reach out for Rome. But he didn't send an angel to let them know that, hey, do not deal with Rome. The Most High didn't send no angel. He didn't raise up a prophet or nothing to come to him or nothing. In this time period right here, the Maccabees are just, you know, going for what they know, you know. But the Most High is definitely with them, but he's also letting them know that their hearts are not right, not even the Maccabees. You know what I'm saying? Their hearts are just not 100% on faith, man. They thinking they need help, you know what I'm saying, to fight all these battles. But God is the only help they need, man. I think that's the underlying message in what we're reading. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, there's only one more chapter to go, and I'm going to put y'all back on hold, and unless y'all got another question or anything.
No, you go right ahead.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to put y'all back in hold. I'm going to knock out this very last chapter of First Maccabees.
Okay.
All right, I got y'all on hold, and we got one more. Hold on. I'm sorry about that, y'all. It's 42 minutes left. Let me go ahead and take a break, clear my throat, and let me play a song, man, because I got a feeling Simeon's on his way downhill now. So let me play a song, kind of giving him, well, I ain't going to say a farewell, but let him know he got a fight ahead of him. What kind of song would I play before I break? Hold on. Let me see here. How about Sorrows, huh? Yeah, let's play Sorrows. That sounds fitting.
Good evening, I'm Kristen Welker in for Lester. We begin tonight with the new front in the war on COVID-19. That new, more contagious strain of the virus, first identified in Britain, has now been found in two U.S. states, Colorado and now California. There are new questions tonight about just how widespread it already is. This as health officials vow to pick up the pace of the vaccine rollout after acknowledging the effort has fallen.
You need a repeat, go watch the news. All of the prophecy coming true. He sent his son to die for you. Follow his steps, you make it through. Euphrates River's drying up. The 12 tribes don't rise up. The devil knows it's time up. Messiah coming, I'm fired up. Rumors of war, we at the door. This tribulation, please endure. In your patience, possess your soul. Earthquakes and pestilence coming more. Come up out of my people. Default Dundee is so much evil. Deep players is coming, they won't leave you. Famine nuclear missiles gon' kill that eagle. We got angels, they got demons. For the Most I protect you and keep you. The love of many gon' ask call. And this tribulation gon' let you know. Your truth, they truth, my truth. His life, his death, the truth. No vaccine gon' mean some sacrifice. Would you lose it all to leave after life? Deep plays are coming to the earth. America about to get hurt. Keep having visions, I'm alert. Babylon is going down, is in his word. Come up out of my peace. Jeremiah 50, pray I see. I'll be seeing angels, cause we need you. Having visions, I keep seeing yelling and screaming. A fake Messiah coming, don't let him deceive you. All on them signs in line, wonders gonna be evil. Messiah opening them seals. Keep them commandments, y'all, could his body be real. Lockdown's coming back. Them plagues coming, nobody could send them back. Hold back your wings, heal your leg. Hold back your wings, heal your leg. You need a repent, go watch the news. All of the prophecies coming true. He sent his son to die for you. Follow his steps, you make it through.
On my whole life, living life like it's alright. Everybody talking past life, in and out of that jailhouse. Street running, I done done that. I done chose something different. I just want something different. Anybody feel me? Yeah, yeah. One thing that I do know, conscience never blind, no. Born raised out Ohio, beat it down like a high note. Like what it mean when it say high note? Your guess is better than mine, though. We tribal, bless no food. Have something that they don't know. I'm just trying to bring light in. Give them something that is priceless. Show them what it's being righteous. A lot of people ain't gonna like this. Some of y'all gonna despise it. If you have problems, I have solutions. If you have questions, I'm here to help you. It's getting real, y'all. It's getting real out here. It's getting real. I be honest in just a minute. Why y'all acting like you don't need this? Why y'all claiming all these fake religions? When God sent the nation against all nations, Israel always kept the precepts. Heathens never kept the precepts. 2nd Ezra 3 and 33. 2nd Ezra 3 and 36. Light it up like a pyro. Why they looking so surprised though? Like they ain't even in the Bible. But you don't even read your Bible. Isaiah 34 and verse 2. But pastor never even showed you. Word I have, I'm going crazy. Like listen to what I'm saying. That's not what it's really meaning. Man, I wish I had a time for every time I heard a Christian say the same line. Man, I ain't lying. If you have problems, I have solutions. If you have questions, I'm here to help you. It's getting real, y'all. It's getting real out here. It's getting real, y'all. It's getting real. If you have problems, I have solutions. Then I'm here to heal you. It's getting real, y'all. It's getting real out here. It's getting real, y'all. It's getting real. Everybody got their own way.
All right. I have to make that break a little longer than expected. All right. So, I hope y'all enjoyed the song, y'all. I hate to interrupt it like that, but we got 35 minutes left in the show, so I need to get on to it if I'm going to read this whole chapter, y'all. Bear with me. All right, so we just read all of 15. So that's what's coming upon him, Brother Simon. And if not, let me go ahead and read 16 and get this all knocked out, okay? All right, here we go. Chapter 16, last chapter, verse 1. Then came up John from Caesarea and told Simon, his father, what Cendebeus had done. Wherefore Simon called his two elder sons, Judas and John, and said unto them, I and my brethren and my father's house have ever from my youth unto this day fought against the enemies of Israel. And things have prospered so well in our hands that we have delivered Israel oftentimes. But now I am old, and yea, by God's mercy, of a sufficient age. Be ye instead of me and my brother, and go and fight for our nation, and the help from heaven be with you. So he chose out of the country 20,000 men of war with horsemen, who went out against Cynthius and rested that night in Modin. And when, as they rose in the morning and went into the plain, behold, a mighty great host, both of footmen and horsemen, came against them. Howbeit, there was a water brook between them. So he and his people pitched over against them. And when he saw that the people were afraid to go over the water brook, he went first over himself. And then the men, seeing him pass through after him. Let me pause right quick. Okay, so here comes this Demetrius. After subduing the east side of their empire, the king, instead of coming back with his men to go and deal with Israel, he still went after Tryphon. He took so many men with him, and he's still pursuing Tryphon. Tryphon running for his life, okay? You know, he's the one that tricked Jonathan, right? So, that Demetrius, he feel like he's been backstabbed in the back by Israel. You know what I'm saying? So here he is. He's trying to kill Tryphon, who killed, you know, Simon's brother, you know, and all of that. And you know, Tryphon also did some other stuff, you know, trying to, you know, conquer the Greek Empire and stuff like that. Yeah, I know, but you got to understand, this King Demetrius is looking at Israel like, I just gave y'all high five. How do y'all make allegiance with Rome behind my back? You know what I'm saying? So y'all want to team up with Rome. Okay. Okay, yeah, I got you then, right? So he's going to send the majority of his men back to Jerusalem to tear it all down while he's gone, right? Now, Simon, at this time, he's up in age, y'all. You know, he ought to be in his 50s and 60s. And he's saying, hey, I can't, you know, I'm going to stay back here, you know, fall back and be the last, you know, thing standing between the armies and Israel. You know, y'all go ahead and meet that army. He's talking to his sons. He's like, man, y'all fight, you know, y'all up in age, y'all in y'all 30s or whatever. And 30s or 40s, I don't know how old they is, but they're the grown men now. And he's saying that y'all go ahead and out there and meet them in battle, and God be with y'all. And if they overtake y'all, then it's going to be me standing here with Israel and these women and children here and these young teenagers. And then we all what we got to defend Israel, you know, fortify it behind these walls, you know. So they definitely, it's a bunch of praying going on right now. So apparently his son is all like, yeah, I'm going to go and, you know what I'm saying, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to get out here and fight. You know, God is going to be with us like my uncles, like my grandpa, you know, and my pops, you know. So he's out here, and they meet, and there's a water, some kind of pond or river in between them. Well, his son done crossed that, like, yeah, we come here to fight, you know what I'm saying? So very bold move right there. I just want to stop and kind of, you know, show y'all that he's a bold guy. All right. I'm at verse 7. That done, he divided his men and set the horsemen in the midst of the footmen, for the enemy's horsemen were very many. Then sounded they with holy trumpets, whereupon Cynthius and his hosts were put to flight, so that many of them were slain. And the remnant got them to the stronghold. At that time was Judas, John's brother, wounded. But John still followed after them until he came to Cedron, which Cynthius had built. So they fled even unto the towers in the fields of Azotus, wherefore he burned it with fire, so that there was slain of them about 2,000 men. Afterward he returned into the land of Judea in peace. Oh, man. Okay, so he has two sons. Simeon sent both his sons there, and one of them got hurt, wounded in the battle. But the other brother pursued them all and ended up killing 2,000 men. All right, so here we go. Okay, so they fled into the towers of the fields of Azotus where he burned them with fire. Okay, okay, he went back to Judea in peace. All right, verse 11. Moreover, in the plain of Jericho was Ptolemy, the son of Abdumas, made captain, and he had abundance of silver and gold, for he was the high priest's son-in-law. Wherefore, his heart being lifted up, he thought to get the country to himself, and thereupon consulted deceitfully against Simon and his sons to destroy them. Now Simon was visiting the cities that were in the country and taking care for the good ordering of them, at which time he came down himself to Jericho with his sons, Mattathias and Judas, in the 137th year, in the 11th month, called Sabbath. Where the son of Abudius, receiving them deceitfully into a little hold she had built, made them a great banquet, albeit he had hid men there. Hold on. Let me back up a little bit. I got to read this again, y'all. My bad, because I'm missing. There's a plot. Who is this guy here? Who is this guy that's going to set them up? Hold on. Okay. Okay, verse 11. Let's start over again. Moreover, in the plain of Jericho was Ptolemy, the son of Adubas, made captain. Okay. Ptolemy sounds like a Greek name, Greek guy. And he had abundance of silver and gold, for he was the high priest's son-in-law. That got to do. Okay. Wherefore, his heart being lifted up, he thought to get the country for him to himself, and thereupon consulted deceitfully against Simon and his sons to destroy them. Now, apparently, okay, Adubius. Where did I find that Adubius name at? Bear with me, y'all. I just got to know, who is this Adubius? He fought against them. Okay, this is Adubius. Anyway, he's the Zubius son, and he was made high priest over what? I don't know. But somehow he got to be pretty cool with Simon and his sons to even be deceitful to him, because they already know they right now they fighting the Greek king, right? So apparently he's there in the land. Okay, all right. Anyway, I'm going to have to figure this out. Maybe y'all can help me. Okay. Now Simon was visiting the cities that were in the country and taking care for the good ordering of them, at which time he came down himself to Jericho with the sons, Mattathias and Judas, in the 137th year, in the 11th month, called Sabbath, where the son of Abdubas, receiving them deceitfully into a little hole called Docus, which he had built, made them a great banquet, howbeit he had hid men there. So when Simon and his sons had drank largely, Ptolemy and his men rose up and took their weapons and came upon Simon into the banqueting place and slew him and his two sons and certain of his servants, in which doing he committed a great treachery and recompense of evil for good. Then Ptolemy wrote these things and sent to the king that he should send him an host to aid him, and he would deliver him the country and cities. He sent others also to Caesarea to kill John, and unto the tribunes he sent letters to come to him that he might give them silver and gold and rewards. And others he sent to take Jerusalem and the mountain of the temple. Now one had ran afore to Caesarea and told John that his father and brethren was slain, and squashed and squoze. Ptolemy has sent to slay thee also. Hereof, when he heard, he was sore astonished. So he laid hands on them that were come to destroy him and slew them, for he knew that they sought to make him away. As concerning the rest of the acts of John and his wars and worthy deeds which he did, and the building of the walls which he made, and his doings, behold, these are the writings in the chronicles of his priesthood from the time he was made high priest after his father. Oh, man, that's a sad ending, man. Oh, that's the end of chapter 16, y'all. Okay, let me open up the mics, y'all. Okay, Sister Dale.
Yeah.
Her brother Ronald. All right. What y'all thinking? I knew something was gonna happen, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That deal with Rome and all of that. But who's this mystery guy that was he was the high priest's son-in-law?
Ooh.
That means he's Simon is the high priest. He's his son-in-law.
Ooh. Oh, okay, probably. But now I wait on you to tell me. We can research that and come back on that next time.
Okay, I got to look into that. He's back in home, and Okay, hold on. So what's going down is that Simon, the word is out that the king is going to come to war with Jerusalem. So everybody's
okay.
Scared, right? But they like,
yeah.
God is with us. He's going to be with us. They went out, and the army that the king sent, they defeated that army, right? One of the brothers, Judas, he was hurt in the battle, right? But John went and finished the battle up and killed those folks in the army. Then it fast forward to Simon was roaming around Israel, checking to make sure everybody good and stuff. And his son-in-law, I'm thinking it was his son-in-law, married to one of his daughters, which the scriptures ain't mentioned none of the girls, you know what I'm saying? But he was the son of, I don't know. I don't know if these are Israel. He got to be an Israelite, a wicked Israelite. You know what I'm saying? A wicked Israelite, I'm guessing. And, he straight up killed his father-in-law. And that makes me want to go ahead and start this second Maccabees up. Because that was the end of the first Maccabees, the book of the first Maccabees. So,
okay.
You know. Yeah, so anyway, I'm thinking that what just took place, y'all. So here he is. He got tricked, just like his brother got tricked. He got tricked into an ambush. But this ambush came from somebody real close to them. So that John was astonished that right there took place. All right? And they use that word astonished, means he was like, what? Who? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so somebody's up here trying to get in the king's favor.
Yeah.
Man, hold on, man. Oh, my goodness, y'all. I can't help it, y'all. I'm going to put y'all back on hold. If y'all got anything to say first before I put y'all back on hold? I got to open up Second Maccabees, first chapter, man. What y'all thinking?
Brother Ronald? Okay.
I'm going to put y'all on hold. I'm going to put y'all on hold and at least read a little bit of it, okay? All right, so here we go. All right, I'll put y'all back on hold. I can't help it. I got to know what's happening next, y'all. Okay, Second Maccabees, chapter 1. The brethren, the Jews that be at Jerusalem and in the land of Judea, wish unto the brethren, the Jews that are throughout Egypt, health and peace. God be gracious unto you, and remember his covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his faithful servants, and give you all an heart to serve him and to do his will with a good courage and a willing mind. And open your hearts in his law and commandments and send you peace. And hear your prayer and be at one with you and never forsake you in time of trouble. And now we be here praying for you. What time as Demetrius reigned? In the 69th year, we, the Jews, wrote unto you in the extremity of trouble that came upon us in those years, from the time that Jason and his company revolted from the Holy Land and kingdom and burned the porch and shed innocent blood. Then we prayed unto the Lord, and we were heard. We offered also sacrifices and fine flour and lighted the lamps and set forth the loaves. And now see that ye keep the feast of tabernacles in the month of Kislew. In the 68th year, the people that were at Jerusalem in Judea and the council and Judas sent greetings and health unto Artisibulus, King Palumius, master, who was of the stock of anointed priests, and to the Jews that were in Egypt. Okay. King Ptolemius, master. Aristobulus, King Ptolemius' master. Okay. Who was of the stock of the anointed priest. He was a Levite, and to the Jews that were in Egypt. Okay. Insomuch as God hath delivered us from great perils, we thank him highly, as having been in battle against the king. For he cast them out that fought within the holy city. For when the leader was come into Persia, and the army with him that seemed invincible, they were slain in the temple of Nanea by the deceit of Nanea's priest. For Antiochus, as though he would marry her, came into the place, and his friends that were with him, to receive money in name of a dowry, which when the priest of Nanea had set forth, and he was entered with a small company into as soon as Antiochus was come in, and opening a privy door of the roof, they threw stones like thunderbolts, and struck down the captain, hewed them in pieces, smote off their heads, and cast them to those that were without. Blessed be our God in all things, who have delivered up the ungodly. Okay. So they just got revenge. Okay, I'm hearing this is a new name, Nanea. Okay. This Nanea's priest. Some about these priests, all right? These are Levites, I'm thinking, right? But I'm seeing this name Antiochus. So as soon as he came in, thinking he had some money and stuff for a dowry, you know, for to take... I want to say Simon's daughter to marry. Okay. And when he came in, apparently they set a trap for him. Okay, let me read 18. Therefore, whereas we are now proposed to keep the purification of the temple upon the 25th day of the month Kislew, we thought it necessary to certify you thereof, that ye also might keep it, as the feast of the tabernacles and of the fire, which was given us when Nehemiah offered sacrifice. After that, he had builded the temple and the altar. For when our fathers were led into Persia, the priests that were then devout took the fire of the altar privily and hid it in a hollow place of a pit without water, where they kept it sure, so that the place was unknown to all men. Now, after many years, when it pleased Nemeus, being sent from the king of Persia, did send of the prosperity, the posterity of those priests, that he had hid it to the fire. But when they told us, they found no fire, but thick water. Then commanded he them to draw it up and to bring it. And when the sacrifices were laid on, Nemeas commanded the priest to sprinkle the wood and the things laid thereupon with the water. When this was done, and the time came that the sun shone, which afore was hid in the cloud, there was a great fire kindled, so that every man marveled. Okay, what am I reading here? I mean, I'm not understanding what's happening here, y'all. Apparently, we're dealing with priests, we're dealing with Levites, and we've seen a wicked Levite kill Simeon and his brethren, right? And then we've seen Antiochus, whatever. I guess he was an Israelite, you know, and they got revenge on him, I'm thinking. But, oh, man, I don't know. I might need to stop right here and just, you know, I don't know. I have to go and reread this, get some understanding of what I'm reading. I'm going to open up y'all lines, man. Okay,
yeah,
y'all what y'all think?
I agree. You're going to have to go back to that and kind of research it a little bit and research the names associated with it. And, you know, let's come back.
Right. So, because it's mentioned Persia, I don't know what's the dealings with Israel and Persia. I don't. What's up? I'm missing something. There's something I'm missing. Yeah, so I can't quite put my finger on it. Yeah, we might have to come back to it, y'all. Let me clear my throat for a minute, man. Let me take a little break. Let me put you on hold and play a little song, and then we'll come back. We'll say a few words what we got for today and what we read and came across, and we'll end the show just like that. So let me put you on hold, and let me play a little song. Let's play Ancient of Days.
Ancient of Days, we give you praise, your holy day, ancient of Days, we give you praise, your holy day. You created the heavens and earth. You created a man out of dirt. You created a fish in the sea. You gave commandments to Adam and Eve. You the one that told Abraham Lee. You the one that gave Sarah the sea. And they wonder why I hit my knees. The water all, but we a part of this. Ancient of Days. We give you praise. Your holy day, submit to your way, ancient of days, we give you praise, your holy day, submit to your way, you the one got it right out of you. So forever the neck was people. Made a covenant just with his people. That line ain't gonna tear up they evil. But we dead 7-9. He got woolly hair just like his people. Keep commandments, you'll be fine. The 12 tribes on the king. Ancient of Days. We give you praise. Your holy day. Mid to your way, mid to your way, mid to your way. Ancient the day, ancient the day, ancient the day. We can you pray, we can you pray, we can you pray. Your holy day, your holy day, your holy day. Submit to your way, submit to your way, submit to your way. Ancient the day, ancient the day, ancient the day. We can you pray, we can you pray, we can you pray. Your holy day, your holy day. Submit to your way, submit to your way, submit to your way. Ancient the day, ancient the day, ancient the day. We give you praise, we give you praise, we give you praise. Your holy day, your holy day, your holy day. Submit to your way, submit to your way, submit to your way.
All right, let me open up y'all mics. All right, so, yeah. What y'all think about it? At least the first Maccabees. I can't stand how it ended with Simon getting killed like that. I tried reading a little bit of second Maccabees, that first chapter right there, but it's confusing. I gotta see what's going on with that, man, because it says something about Persia, and it got some more names pop up. I don't know.
Maybe what we need to do is do a little background cross references and stuff like that. So that should give us something to come back with.
Right. What about you, Brother Ronald?
Yeah, I want to close with a scripture.
Okay.
Isaiah.
Book of Isaiah.
Give us something
okay.
to think about.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Isaiah, what chapter and verse?
Chapter 31, verses 1 through 3. You stop at 3.
Just okay. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many. And in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men, and not gods. And their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is helping shall fall down, and they all shall fall together. All right.
Okay. Believe,
trust in the Most High. Trust in the Most High over man.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think so too. That's a good verse.
You say the Egyptians are not men. They are not. You see what they said? Read that again. It's just the verse 2.
Okay, hold on. You said which one? Verse 2.
Yeah.
Yet he also is wise and will bring evil. And will not call back his words.
I think it's verse 3.
But
it says the Egyptians
okay.
are.
Okay. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down. And they all shall fail together.
Yeah.
So I think
all
that's
right.
why
so,
I think that's why the most I think that's why the Most High didn't send no angels. And they was trusting in the men. They was trusting in other nations to help them. Instead of trusting in the Most High.
Wow. I did not see that coming.
That's why I brought that scripture.
Yeah, that's
why I brought that scripture.
Mm.
That is so true.
Wow.
That verse. Let's keep that in mind, and we're going to discuss this when we come back. Let's talk about that, because that's great, Brother Ron.
Yes, that was a good one, brother.
To give us some insight on that, and which makes so much sense, because when we put our faith in others and objects and that type of thing, he'll turn his face from you. You know, he'll turn his face.
Yeah.
And that's why we can't doubt, you know, and we can't worship idols and other things, you know. So that's thank you for that, and we'll come back and talk about it more on tomorrow, right, brother?
Yes, ma'am. And before we go, let me check to see if what's his name? His name keep on. Brother Ronald, help me out. What's your brother name? Brother Ronald.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I forget.
Yeah, what's
too.
Your friend name? What's your brother
just
name
call,
again?
Just call out and see if he's on.
Okay, he just his hands are up. I keep forgetting his name.
No, it's Floyd.
All right, your line is open, bro.
Brother Floyd. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Brother Floyd, yeah.
Okay. I can hear you.
No, I'm just reading along.
Go ahead, Brother Floyd.
I'm just reading along and listening. I sent you that video I was telling you about before and another one. Looks at the war side and explains who some of those people are. So I'm looking at it right now as we speak. So I'm just listening in. I'm just appreciating the study. Right? So this is I've read this before, but I did not know enough about it to even understand what I was reading. So it's good to have this. I appreciate you.
All right. Good deal. I'm kind of in the same shoes, brother. I'm just kind of trying to find my way in the dark, too, with it. So the Maccabees they haven't battled against Rome just yet, okay? But Rome is going to give them a little trouble, too, from what I understand, and just looking back on hindsight. Because somewhere along the line, Rome is going to go from their friend to basically their oppressor. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, So that agreement that they're making with Rome, that's not going to end well. You know what I'm saying?
It never does.
Right. Yeah. So
we can already see
that in hindsight, but nevertheless, this is Israel's history, man. And we're embracing it, taking it all in, and with all we done, you know, what we done came through, man. So, So with that being said, y'all, I'm going to go ahead and put y'all on hold, and I'm going to play one more last song, man. And I would like for y'all to still stay on just to hear my song, man. But I'm going to get on out of here. Shalom to y'all. We'll meet up tomorrow at 5 p.m. All right.
This is real quick thought, brother. As you said that, it was kind of like, this is what I was thinking earlier, too. It's like, it's interesting how God is just letting all of that happen, all the internal battles, all the, you know what I'm saying? And, like, when you think he's doing that to his wife, though. You know what I mean? It's like he's putting her in time out and just saying, just think about what it is. And, you know, that internal struggle we all go through when we sin, you know what I mean? And you have that battle inside your mind. You just try to, you know what I'm saying? So it's interesting.
Mm.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Right. Oh, yeah, very, man. We'll meet up tomorrow at 5 p.m., man. I'm going to send a text out to remind you guys. And, because I kind of got y'all linked up on the same text message. And, I'll remind y'all that it's going to start at 5, man. And, man, I'm going to try to do some little studies on that, and what you just sent me, I'm going to take a look at it and see if I can piece it together of what we're reading at. when we go into Second Maccabees. So thank you for that. And
thank you.
All right, all right. So we're going to end it, y'all. Shalom, shalom. I see y'all tomorrow, all right? All right,
okay.
Shalom, shalom, y'all. All right, y'all. So let me go and play my last little outro, my last little outro jam here. And, yeah, I'll see everybody tomorrow, all right? This is kind of a newer song. I've saved it just for the outro. So I hope y'all enjoy, all right?
Just fly with me. I'm the one that crossed the sea, that by fire in the night. I'm the one that killed Christ, so I'm dying to stand with the nails in his hand. Yeah, I'm nailed to the end. I'm the one that killed Paul. I'm in debt to the Lord. Hit myself in the trees, then I went and blamed Eve. Y'all, please show me grace. I'm not ready for the lake. I repent to this day. I'm the one that built the calf and was healed by the staff. How could the angels relate? I was stole from my case. I'm the one that's a slave. Y'all free me from the jail. It get cold in the cell, even colder in hell. When will we be avenged? So much blood on their hands. I'm the one that built the temple out of gold, not silver. While we marrying their kids, putting rings on the pigs. You the one that was chose, turned from soil into gold. What's a fish to a boat, what's the dead to a crow? I'm the one that crossed the sea, led by fire in the night. I'm the one that killed Christ, so I'm dying to sin. With the nails in his hand, yeah, I'm nailed to the end. I'm the one that killed Paul, I'm in debt to the law. And myself in the trees, and I went and blamed Eve. Y'all, please show me grace. We need to bethink ourselves in a land where we were sold slaves, and repent and make supplication unto Yah in this land, saying, we have sinned, we have committed wickedness. And Yah, forgive thy people that have sinned against you, and all the transgressions wherein they have transgressed against you. And give them compassion where they were sold slaves, so that their enemies might have compassion on them as well. Cause I'm the one that wasn't changed. Just imagine the case. Saw my own mother hang. Just imagine the pain. Just imagine the rage. See my own father whip. He ain't do what they said, so they wanted him dead. See my own brother peel from his head to his heels. Was the skin worth the purse? Were my fingers worth shirts? Could've picked it yourself, or at least gave me shirts without holes. Gave me parts of the wealth. No, I won't just forgive. So much anger inside. Why they children alive?
Feel, but I have something to say that's true and it's real. And that's that I'm sorry for how we've behaved, starting the very moment that you were enslaved. Since we came in our boats and shackled your hands and shipped you back here to work on our land.
I'm the one that crossed the sea, led by fire in the night. I'm the one that killed Christ, so I'm dying to sin. With the nails in his hand, yeah, I'm nailed to the end. I'm the one that killed Paul, I'm in debt to the law. And myself in the trees, and I went and blamed Eve. Yeah, please show me, please show me. Just bow with me, just bow with me. Yeah, please show me, just bow with me.